Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Organizations delivering meals to many, many South Africans. South Africans dealing with all sorts of issues as we try and understand as well about the culture of alcohol consumption. So we were following that. We are following very closely the tavern story, and we also are seeing that alcohol is being blamed. But is it alcohol? Isn't it alcohol? What is going on with us, and what is going on with our teenagers? Alcohol consumption is part of our culture, and how do we deal with that? Maurice Smithers is director at the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
So there's a lot of discussion around moving alcohol consumption, the legal age, to 21. Is this something that is effective at all? Would it make any difference, really?
Yes, we believe it would. And there's a lot of medical health reasons and social reasons for why it would be a very good idea. But it's not going to solve anything on its own. In other words, if you were to suddenly tomorrow decide to change the drinking age from 18 to 21, it's not going to make any difference, because the same child of 13 from in the Benny Tavern who was currently flouting the 18 limit regulation is going to flout the 21 limit regulation as well.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, we saw this in the tavern tragedy. They were 13 years old, 14 years old.
Exactly.
How would it have helped if the age limit was 21 years old?
Well, it wouldn't, and that's my point. So the issue is, look, as I said, there are many good health and social reasons why it would be a good idea to raise the age from 18 to 21, and we would definitely support that. And that has actually already been proposed, in fact, in the National Liquor Policy of 2016 and in the Liquor Amendment Bill of 2016. But it's got to be accompanied by a number of other steps, including things like banning advertising of alcohol completely. It's got to be accompanied by reducing the availability of alcohol, less outlets, more limited operating hours, you know, various other ways in which alcohol is available, but not as freely and easily available as it is at the moment. And then the third thing is the cost of alcohol. The cost of alcohol in South Africa, particularly beer, is very, very cheap, making it much more accessible to everybody, and also meaning that because it's cheap, it's easier to drink accessibly. And then there's a bunch of other socioeconomic steps that have to be taken. Is how do you deal with the issue of unemployment, which is a factor in drinking? How do you deal with the lack of recreational facilities that encourages kids to go and drink rather than anything else, because there aren't recreational facilities, particularly in previously disadvantaged communities? So all of those have to go together, but they should happen soon, because the reality is that change is not going to happen overnight. Even if we had all these new regulations in place tomorrow, real change. You know, you spoke about alcohol being part of our culture. True, alcohol has been part of the human condition since we were hunter-gatherers, when people used to find fermented fruits and fermented honey in nature and begin to use it. But I think it's important also to understand that when we talk about culture, The use of alcohol culturally has actually been distorted by profit, actually, because the liquor industry is hell-bent on trying to get as many people to drink as much as possible, and I'm not making this up. They say this themselves. They have targeted Africa. The global liquor industry has targeted Africa as their new growth market, because, in fact, although it looks as though we have a problem with drinking in South Africa, which we do, only 31% of people aged 15 and above actually drink. which is very different to Europe and America.
That is interesting. Well, you know, if I could use the Jewish culture as an example, alcohol and wine is very much considered, is very much part of our culture. Where on a Friday evening, on a Shabbat, on the Sabbath, we begin our meal with a prayer, and it's around wine. It's part of a culture. It's not a taboo, but that is a very positive way that it elevates an occasion, and it doesn't need to be
like that in Africa as well. I mean, you know, you have traditional beer like Umbothi.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fermented beer made from sorghum, and it was used in cultural practices like lobola and initiation ceremonies and so on. But today, because, as I said, of the global liquor industry, all of that has been distorted. So now it's become transactional. So, you know, when you have a lobola event, it's not about passing around the Ukamba with Umbothi in it. It's now who has brought what whiskey, you know? Is it blue label or is it black label? So the whole cultural thing has been distorted. People are drinking too much. And so instead of it just being a gentle consuming of alcohol, as you discussed the border negotiations, it's now people drinking hard liquor, getting drunk, and then all of the problems that go with that. So
it was also formed a part of the oppression in South Africa, where farm workers were given alcohol rather than wages.
That's right. That was a tot system. Look, you must remember that isn't unique to South Africa. I mean, that was imported from Europe. That was happening in many countries in Europe as well, that farm workers in the feudal system, the feudal days, farm workers were part of, you know, fed part of their wages in alcohol, beer or wine, depending on which country they were in, and that was brought to South Africa and then refined to a very, very effective way of controlling people, and we still see the effect of that in the high levels of fetal alcohol syndrome in the Western Cape and the Northern Cape. In fact, we have the highest levels of fetal alcohol syndrome in the world.
That's true.
In South Africa because of that.
The danger
is... Even the whole Sabine system, I'm not sure if people are aware that the word Sabine is not even a South African word, it's an Irish word.
I didn't know that.
And
I thought it was...
Sabine only emerged in South Africa as a distortion of the drinking process, because alcohol was banned to the black community from 1897 to 1962. And so, you know, had that not happened...
You wouldn't have had that system.
We wouldn't really have Sabines today, because people would have... the black community would have been able to drink normally as the white community could.
It wouldn't be illicit. The other problem is that we, in South Africa, we love to legislate instead of dealing with the issues. So we think that just coming out with a law or some form of legislation is going to fix it, whereas it really doesn't, unless we get to the crux of the issue.
Legislation is very important. You know, the liquor industry in South Africa loves to say that they can self-regulate. They will fix the problem. Not in their interest to do that.
Absolutely.
It's not in their interest to do that. You know, they talk about what's called responsible drinking. We don't even know what that means. But let's assume what they mean is moderate drinking. And we prefer that term because if you talk about moderation, it's something you can measure. You can, you know, I don't know what how you measure something like responsible drinking. It's a very abstract term. So let's say that they mean moderate drinking. In other words, people not drinking excessively, not getting to the point of being completely out of it as a result of drinking. Some research has shown that if the 60% of drinkers who drink excessively in South Africa, if they were to drink moderately, the profit of the liquor industry, the actual sale of alcohol would drop by 50 to 60%. So the liquor industry has no interest in people drinking less. So you can't, so therefore, legislation is absolutely important. Legislation has to be in place in order to ensure that there are rules in place to control what the liquor industry is doing and what some people do. And let me give you a very good example of where legislation has worked.
Right. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so if you can just tell us that.
Very quick one. It's with smoking.
Mm.
In 1999, new legislation was introduced in South Africa to control tobacco, the use of tobacco. And that changed the balance of power between smokers and non-smokers. Before that, non-smokers were held hostage to the behavior of smokers because smokers would just smoke anywhere and anytime they wanted to.
Yes.
And that has changed that completely. And that's what we need with alcohol. We're not trying to stop people drinking alcohol. They've just got to do it in a way that is not harmful to themselves and not harmful to the people around them. And legislation, I'm afraid, is the only way we're going to guarantee that happens, along with a whole lot of other socioeconomic steps that we need to take in society, education, et cetera, et cetera.
Very interesting. Richard Poplack, as he tweeted earlier, there was underage. They were under the legal drinking age, as it is. But sure, sadly, these deaths happen not because there are no laws, but because there is no rule of law. And I thought that was interesting as well.
Maurice
Smithers, who is the director at the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance in South Africa, talking to us about the legal age of drinking. Apologies, your news is slightly late at 7:02.